Mercy and peace be unto each one of you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Our text is the gospel reading for this day from Mark chapter 1. I read for you again these words. Now after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee, proclaiming the gospel of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." So far the reading of the text. In the name of Jesus, the only Savior of the world. When Jesus called to Simon and Andrew, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men," his word was so compelling that they immediately left their nets and followed him. They were soon followed by James and John. Four fishermen recruited as second career apostles. So, what was their training? How does Jesus make them fishers of men? By teaching them how to preach. And what were they to preach? Well, the same message that Jesus himself preached: the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. It's really very simple. You see, that is the essential message of every Christian sermon. For at that very time, in that very place, the kingdom of God was there, right in front of them. Everything that had been leading up to that moment and preparing for that moment had come to pass. All of Israel's history, all of human history, had reached the point that God had in mind. This is the fullness of time. All the prophecies foretelling what the Lord would do had now reached the point of fulfillment. This is the moment the world had been waiting for. Indeed, this is the moment the Lord had been waiting for and working toward. It is now here in the coming of the Christ. And with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords in their midst, the kingdom of God is at hand. This is God's gracious rule and reign among them. It is God's end time kingdom of grace and blessing. Jesus is the King who ushers it in. That's why Jesus can say of this kingdom that it is at hand. It's right here among you. The kingdom arrives in the very person and the presence of Jesus. That's how it works. And yet, the kingdom of God is not limited to that time or that place. For the Lord Jesus is every bit as present right here and right now. Jesus said, "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them." So he is present, not in a spiritualistic or imaginary way, but rather by and in the means that he has appointed: the written and spoken word of God and the bread and wine of his holy supper. This is how he is present with us today. And how he distributes his gifts of forgiveness and salvation and godly comfort. And what difference does it make that the kingdom of God is near you? That Jesus is in our midst? My dear friends, it makes all the difference in the world. Indeed, it makes every difference in your life. For the nearness of the kingdom of God is the basis for what Jesus says next. Repent and believe in the gospel. This is the same message God's prophets had proclaimed in the Old Testament. This is what Jonah reluctantly preached to the Ninevites. This is certainly the same message that John proclaimed at the Jordan. And it's what Jesus proclaimed as well. Repent. Turn from your sins. Turn away from them in sorrow and contrition, mourning how you have messed things up, how you have turned away from God. Change your mind. Change your way of thinking from the world's way of thinking and from the selfish desires of your flesh, which is all only turned in on itself. Recognize how you have broken God's commandments, how you have not loved God with your whole heart, how you have not loved your neighbor as yourself. That's what sin is. That's what being a sinner is. So own it. Confess it. Don't rationalize it or excuse your sin. Don't compare yourself to other people, focusing on how bad they are. No. Look in the mirror. See how you have sinned in thought, word, and deed, in what you have done wrong and in what you have failed to do right. Admit that you are a sinner, lost without God's mercy and forgiveness, having no righteousness in yourself that would avail before God. Recognize your need. Recognize your need and your powerlessness before God's righteous throne of judgment. The wages of sin is death. All of that, yes, all of that is packed into this one word, repent. Do you hear Jesus speaking that word to you today? Now also hear Jesus say, believe in the gospel. For the gospel is the glad tidings of God's undeserved favor towards sinners like you and me. This is certainly something to rejoice over, that God does not have only words of judgment to speak to us, but that he also speaks words of salvation and grace, words of comfort and consolation. But this gospel is not some vague pronouncement of everything's okay. God's a nice guy. He won't hold your sins, your bad stuff against you. Oh no, it goes much deeper than that. The gospel of God's grace and forgiveness comes to us absolutely free. And at the same time, it came at a great cost. for Jesus Christ is the heart and center of this gospel. His person, his work is the specific content of this good news. Who Jesus is and what he has done. This is what makes the gospel good news. This man Jesus, who is going about in Galilee, preaching and teaching and healing, he is the very Son of God, come in the flesh, come down to earth to bring salvation to lost sinners. True God and true man, he is our brother and our Savior. As our brother, he fulfills the law on our behalf, always doing the right thing, the way man was meant to do it. And Jesus is our substitute also in taking the punishment that the law requires for sinners. Even though he had no sins of his own, Jesus bore our sins in his body on the cross. He shed his holy, precious blood for our forgiveness and our cleansing. And because he is the holy God doing these things, his sacrifice is sufficient for all sins, for men everywhere. Christ's righteousness is enough to cover the entire world. God pronounces us righteous for his sake. It's a free gift. This gift, then, is received through faith. That's why Jesus says, believe in the gospel. To believe, biblically speaking, is not just to know about something in your head with no connection to life. Rather, to believe is to trust. To entrust yourself to this gospel of Christ. To know in your heart that this is your only hope of righteousness before God. Believe in the gospel. That is to say, trust in Christ, your Savior. Take refuge in him. He will save you from your sins, from death, and eternal damnation. He will save you by the power of his resurrection unto eternal life, so that you will share in his resurrection at the last day. This is the content of our faith. And God's mighty word creates and awakens that very faith that it calls for, even as Jesus' word of follow me caused Andrew and Peter and James and John to immediately leave their boats and their nets and follow him. Now, such preaching as Jesus engages in, as his pastors today are to engage in, is not to be bait that attracts folks. And quite frankly, that's why it's so seldom heard in so many places. The law and the gospel are offensive to those who are perishing. But to those of us who are being saved, the blessed gospel is the power of God unto salvation. It is a net that is cast out for all. So there's nothing else for me to preach than that apostolic message and the teaching of Jesus Christ. There is no other truth. There is no other gospel. Jesus Christ is the Son of God who suffered in your place and for your sins. He has conquered death, and he has conquered the grave once for all. Dear friends, Jesus does come here today in this place, proclaiming the gospel of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Hear his voice. Heed his call. Jesus comes to us today, to our Galilee, to our fishing boats, summoning us to the new life of adventure he has for us as his disciples, speaking to each one of us his powerful words of life. Follow me. God grant that we do so follow him in repentance and faith, now and forever. Amen.